stories from the early part of our nation was of a man who had been caught stealing sheep. Part of his punishment was he was branded with an ST on his forehead, sheep thief, so that wherever he went, it was announced of what he did. He stole sheep. He made a way into a camp meeting service. Methodist circuit rider was preaching. And he heard the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. He committed his life that night to Jesus. He received the gift of salvation and began a new life. Over the next few years, as he grew in that relationship with Christ, he became a leader in the community and a leader in the church. And soon, people forgot what that ST originally stood for. It wasn't sheep thief any longer. It'd become the abbreviation for saint. For God had given him a miraculous makeover from sinner to saint. You see, Jesus is still in the business of doing miraculous makeovers for you and me, for anyone who needs that transformation in their lives. He's in the business of giving people miraculous makeovers, transforming us from sinners to saints. We saw one last week that experienced that. He was a tax collector named Zacchaeus, a rich, lonely man. And then Jesus called his name and offered him grace. And he became a new person in Christ. And he was turned into a generous servant. Today we continue this series on miraculous makeovers. And we look at the miraculous makeovers of a man named Jacob, who was a real swindler, who God turned into a servant. A swindler who God turned into a servant. Now, if you don't remember Jacob, he is the younger of twins born to Isaac and Rebekah. His story begins in Genesis 25. Beginning with verse 21, we read, Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his prayer, and his wife Rebekah conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, if it is to be this way, why do I live? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. When her time to give birth was at hand, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red. All his body was like a hairy mantle. So they named him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hands gripping Esau's heel. And so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. Notice, Jacob came out of the womb wanting to get ahead. The second one gripping at his brother's feet, gripping to get ahead. And that's the way he would spend a majority of his life. It was all about him and what he wanted. And he didn't care who got hurt in the journey, as long as he got his way. You see, one thing I see from Jacob is, we all share in common sin. We all share this one thing in common with Jacob, sin. The Scriptures tell us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in Jacob, we begin to see sin from the very beginning. It bent to sinning, that he wanted his way. He wanted to do life his way. And he wanted to take over leadership in the family. It didn't matter who he hurt in the journey. And I think as you look at Jacob's story, we see that there are some common elements to this life of sin. And the first one is this. Sin often manifests itself in a life of scheming. Scheming to get ahead. Scheming to keep myself at the priority. It started as a young child for Jacob. He wanted first place. And that scheming as a child led to Jacob swindling his brother Esau out of his birthright. He swindled his brother Esau out of his birthright. Now, here's what you need to know. Jacob was the favorite of his mother, Rebekah. Esau was more of the country guy, the outdoors guy. And he was the favorite of his dad, Isaac. And one day, he came in from being out in the woods, and he was starving. And his brother had cooked a bowl of stew. Well, this stew doesn't quite have the aroma coming out since it's not on the fire. It's amazing sometimes what our altar team's able to capture. And you may want to see the stew after the service. It's what got Esau in trouble. Nothing about the stew itself, but what was it? He was so focused on immediate gratification of his needs that he was willing to sell his birthright. And in that culture, the firstborn inherited double the inheritance of the rest of the children. Double. He was willing to get rid of that in order to feed his appetite. And so often in our culture, we give in to the immediate gratification, give in to the immediate rather than paying for the long haul. The scripture says that Jacob said to his brother Esau, "First, sell me your birthright. I want that position." So he took the opportunity to swindle his brother out of the birthright. Let's move forward a few years. And Jacob did some scheming to receive his father's blessing as well. Father's blessing. And here's the second thing. While the birthright essentially belonged to the first child, it wasn't fully his until the father offered the blessing. And if for some reason the father chose to bless someone else, the double portion went with the blessing. So even though Jacob had swindled his brother, he had to swindle his dad to give him the blessing, or else he wouldn't get the double inheritance. And you can read about this in Genesis 27. Many of you know the story that he kind of dressed up with his mother's help and fooled his dad who's gotten blind. And the dad blesses him. And now Jacob has swindled both the brother and the dad so that he might have life his way. His way. Which brings us to another result of sin. Sin leads to struggle. Sin leads to struggle. Because he swindled his brother and swindled his dad, he lived in terror. He had to leave the family. He always was looking over his back. Where are they? Are they coming after me? And we hear some of that as you read in chapter 32. Paul dealt with that struggle as well. He says in Romans 7, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Paul saying, I try to do right. You ever been there? I try to do right, but I still mess it up. Now, if you don't want to admit that, that's part of the struggle with pride, because we don't want to admit that we got a problem with sin. That we struggle just like Paul and just like Jacob to keep the center on God instead of us. And Paul comes to that point where he said, wretched man, I need a rescuer. I need a deliverer. That's part of the journey for salvation. But notice something else that sin does. Sin results in separation. Sin results in separation. After he swindled his dad and then his brothers out, he was separated from his brother, his dad, and it ended up separated from his mother, never to see her again. You see, the struggle of sin leads to separation in our lives, brokenness. Or to put it another way, sin brings a death to the vital relationships in our lives. It brings a death to the vital relationships in our lives, and it starts with that vital relationship with God. To paraphrase what Paul wrote to Timothy, God is on one side and human beings are on the other side, and there's a big gulf between them, and that is sin. And there's no way to bridge that. Only God can bridge it for us. And He did that through the cross of Jesus. We're separated from God. We're cut off from God. Paul says in Ephesians, we're dead in our trespasses and sin. And dead people can't change their lives. The only hope is a resurrection, a new beginning. And that's what Jesus offers us, to be transformed into the new life. But notice something. As Jacob was leaving in brokenness and despair, in the midst of that, God reached out to Jacob. Jacob didn't reach out to God. God reached out to Jacob. You can read about that in chapter 28. That God comes to him in a dream. And there's this ladder that comes down from heaven to where Jacob is. And God descends and offers Jacob grace, forgiveness, new life. And we know that Jacob responded to that grace. Having experienced the offer of grace, Jacob submitted his life to God. Say that again. Having been offered grace, Jacob submitted his life to God. That's the step of salvation we have to receive. We have to accept that into our lives. So that in Genesis 28, he says, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give you one-tenth, or give one-tenth to you. Notice, God hadn't asked anything of Jacob. He didn't put requirements on his gift of grace. But in response, Jacob pledges the tithe. And Jacob's commitment to tithe, I think, was evidence that his priorities were changing. It was all about holding on for him. It was all about what I could get out of life. And now he turns it around and he wants to honor God. He wants to honor God with his life. Bill Flanders was the founder of Stewardship Growth Incorporated. Had the privilege of working with him on several capital campaigns in a couple of previous churches. And I never will forget, he shared in more than one occasion that you can see a person's real priorities by examining their checkbook. Because you invest in what's a priority to you. You invest in what's a priority to you. Jacob is investing in God's work now. A tenth I give to you. We're seeing Jacob being transformed. I heard John Ed Matheson, former pastor in Montgomery, Fraser Memorial, shared a camp meeting some years ago. He said, "Changed people do not become perfect overnight." Let that soak in a moment. Changed people do not become perfect overnight. Has anybody reached perfection yet? You know, we're supposed to be on that journey in sanctification as God's grace sanctifies us. Well, it didn't come overnight for Jacob either. Now we start seeing this change that follows. As you move on, he was beginning to develop a servant's heart in verse 29. Now his servant heart is developed as he falls in love with a young lady he meets at a well. I find it kind of interesting. Did anybody remember where the servant met Isaac's future wife, Rebecca? It was at a well. And she was a servant who gave water to not only the servant, but to all of his camels. That began the journey that she became Isaac, Jacob's mother. Now Jacob meets Rachel at a well. And it was kind of like love at first sight. And he goes to her dad, Laban, for her in marriage. And Laban makes an agreement. You work for me for 7 years and then you can marry her. Now the Jacob that we saw earlier, he would kind of scheme around trying to work out some kind of scheming deal, trying to cut out the years. But not this one. He's fallen in love, he's changed, and he commits himself and he serves faithfully for 7 years. You see, we see in a heart change at this point. But you remember the story? 7 years, there's a marriage. And when Jacob wakes up the next morning after having his bride brought into him that night, it wasn't Rachel. It was her older sister, Leah. Here's the thing. The schemer got a dose of his own medicine. His father-in-law turned out to be a schemer himself. And he passed off his older sister as Rachel. Jacob goes to Laban. And Laban offers him this deal. If you stay with Leah for a week and commit yourself to serve me 7 more years, I'll give you Rachel as well. And I give her to you at the end of that first week. And so Jacob goes along. But you know, that didn't set well with the schemer. And an old life begins to reemerge. I remember a friend of mine sharing a testimony once. He said, after describing his salvation experience in Jesus, he said, it was several years later till I gave him lordship in my life. He was my Savior, but he wasn't my Lord. Suggest to you that's what we're seeing develop in Jacob. You see, Jacob made a commitment to God following his dream of the ladder. But Jacob didn't surrender controls to his life. He was still wanting to do it his way. And so the old Jacob reemerges. And he begins to swindle his father-in-law out of some of the sheep. Now, I don't have time to go in details on all of that. I'm just hoping you go home and read chapters 25 through 33 to get all the fill in the details. But he starts scheming. And now he's got Laman after him. He's got Esau after him. He's got his dad Isaac after him. He's broken relationships with everybody. That's what sin does. And even his two wives now aren't always on the same page. And so he's struggling in his home. And so he has to leave Laman and heads back home, but he's afraid of what he's going to run into in Esau. And it was at that point that God took the initiative again. God reached out to Jacob. God encountered him again at night. And we begin to see Jacob's heart changing. He says in verse 30 of 32, "I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." Now I want to just stop there for a moment and say a word to you in discovery. It's easy to have high moments in our lives. But Jacob got distracted by life after making a commitment to God. He got refocused on his own self and doing life his way rather than keeping an eye on God. Rather than using those gifts that you've learned about this weekend of talking to God in prayer and of gathering in communion around God's table. You see, when we don't do those things, we're tempted to get our eyes back in the wrong direction. That's where Jacob was. But here's the good news. Whenever we get off in that wrong direction, God's always looking after us. He's seeking after us. He takes the initiative to reach us. That's where God reached out to Jacob again. He reached out and offered him grace and transformed him. And Jacob experienced his presence. "I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." Here's the point. When Jacob gave his heart to God, God blessed Jacob. Part of that blessing was he got a name change. You know who he became? He became Israel. Now, I want you to think about what a blessing God gave Jacob. Is the nation called Abraham today? He was the father that God called. Not at all. The nation is called Israel today, after the swindler who's been transformed by grace. You know where all the tribes come from? They come from the 12 sons of Jacob, who was Israel. That's the blessing that God gives. You see, when God touches a life, He transforms that life and blesses that life. And God is still in the makeover business. I believe that. Doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been, you can experience a new life, a transformation, and walk in a new way. But it's easy to get sidetracked in that journey if we don't keep our eyes on Jesus. I want to tell you a story. Fontana Bass was a singer whose song "Rescue Me" became top of the charts. But she didn't have another hit. And she started trying this and this and got herself dabbling in unhealthy activities. 25 years later, after being at the top of the charts, she was living in a little house where there was no electricity, just a wood stove in the kitchen to produce food and heat. But she didn't even have any food to cook on it. Had a battery-operated radio that was playing, and she heard her song on the radio, "Rescue me." What she was unaware of, that her agent that she had separated from had sold rights to American Express to use her song as publicity for a new card that they were putting out, which means there was royalties she didn't even know about until that song was hit on the radio. In sharing her testimony, she said, "It was as if the Lord had stepped right into my world. I looked around and got my back royalties. I started to go to church every Sunday, and that's what saved me." She got reconnected to the God that she had known years earlier. She discovered God was still in the rescue business. And she goes on to share in her testimony, "For so many years I've tried doing it on my own. It didn't work. Then I took it out of my hands and turned it over to Him. And now everything's happening." That's the way to life. It's not trying to hang on to it and doing it ourselves. It's turning it over to God. And who knows, God has a miraculous makeover for you today. Wherever you've been in your life, He's got a miraculous makeover. This gift that we've talked about this weekend is available to you. That it's not just a weekend of excitement, but it's a life change. But it's available to every one of us, wherever we are, because most of us, like Jacob, have those times when we get off track and we need God's grace to pull us back. I don't know where you are in that, but there's a prayer at the bottom of your message notes today that could help you grow in Him. Take that next step to giving Him authority in your life. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for grace. We thank You that even when we reach that pit of our lives, Your grace still reaches out to us. Forgive us, God, in those times when we make commitments to You like Jacob, but then soon get our eyes off focus. Get our eyes back on the things of this world rather than living under Your lordship. Maybe that's where some of us are today. And it may be that some of us have had an awakening this weekend. But God, I pray that the awakening doesn't stop today, but that we learn to live in Your blessing. That living under Your power and blessing is where life really is. Rescue us from ourselves, God. And lead us back into a closer walk with You. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.